It is 4th on a Thursday, time again for Everything Under the Sun here on KDNK. I'm your host, Raleigh Burley, and today I have the honor of being joined by Jody Burghardt, who is the founder and co-owner of a new indoor play space in Carbondale for ages 0 to 5 called Mindful Me Playhouse. Jody, welcome to Everything Under the Sun.
Thank you for having me.
So there's a lot to talk about as far as your experience, the space itself, your vision for this space. Mm-hmm. Let's start with how long has this Mindful Me Playhouse been open?
We opened last March, sort of suddenly. You know, we were waiting on some permitting stuff with the town for a while. Finally got the go-ahead, opened in March, and then we're still kind of putting it together at that point. So I kind of consider summer was our more official opening. And like, we're really hitting our groove this fall and winter.
Okay, cool. So it's kind of been a gradual increase. Mm-hmm. And I know, well, let's describe the format first, and then we'll get into some of the classes that are offered as well. So how does it work? If I'm a parent or a caregiver, what are you offering?
So we are offering like mindfully curated creative play where the parent comes with the child. It's for ages 0 to 5. Our schedule changes, but is somewhat consistent. So we have classes available Monday through Saturday right now in the mornings. And we've tried to make this as easy as possible because I know what it's like to be home with a toddler or a toddler and an infant. You can just go right on our website and through there, click sign up and just register for whatever class you want to come to. And I think what's really unique about our classes is we intentionally keep them small. We do not want it to be a wild, chaotic, overly busy space. So our scheduling system maxes out around 6 to 8 families per class. So when you come, you will always be stepping into an environment where you will get personalized attention and some of that one-to-one time with me, with my husband, and that you can spend with your child as well.
And so what kind of classes, like when you say class, what are you teaching?
We do a variety of different things. And so what I'm saying right now might be different 6 months from now, because I think as a creative person myself, I love trying out different kinds of classes. Some of our core classes that are pretty much always on the schedule is we have Mindful Me Open Play. So that happens at various times throughout the week in 2 to 4 hour blocks, with the idea of like, you don't have the pressure of having to be there at a very certain time. You just show up at any point during that time block, stay for around an hour, and then leave. We also currently have Mini Makers, which is a kids process-based art class. We have Music and Movement, which is just singing, dancing, stories, musical instruments. We have In My Feelings, which is one of our newer classes. It's a social-emotional class that combines a cute little feelings-based circle time and then parent education and a skill that we practice during that class. And I'm there to answer questions, provide feedback. We also have Itsy Bitsy Yoga, which is a fan favorite that I change when that's offered because so many people want to come to that one. So sometimes it's on the weekend, sometimes it's during the week. And that is, it's exactly like it sounds. It's little tots doing yoga, breathing. And I think those are our core classes currently.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Lots of different things.
And what inspired you to get into this?
I have been working in early childhood since 2004. I started as an assistant preschool teacher, and every job I've ever had has been with children. And I think when I moved here, so I moved here from Baltimore City. I had been a special ed teacher in Baltimore City, and then I moved here in 2018. And I started working for Early Intervention, which provides therapeutic services to children ages 0 to 3 who have delays or disabilities. And I was like, man, where do people take their 2-year-olds? Coming from a city to a more rural area, I was just noticing this lack of indoor spaces that really were appropriate and inclusive for that age group and provided that parent connection. So I would say, like, back in 2018, my brain started to sort of wiggle around thinking, like, oh, maybe one day I'll do something like that. And now I have.
Well, I can attest to the space being really mindfully curated. I went to photograph it as Kate Phillips, who wrote the article for this week's Sopra Sun, as well as it's translated in Sol del Valle. So I got to be the photographer on that story and was really impressed. It's a little bit of an industrial part of town. So you don't really know what to expect, but you go up those stairs and suddenly it's this light-filled, beautiful room. Talk about a little bit, like, how intentional you were and how you put that together.
Yes. So when we talk about the space, I always like to say it was my creative idea, and my husband, Mike, who's the co-owner, is the one who built out the whole space. So it would not exist without him. And I spent a long time planning the space. I, like, knew I wanted different play zones. I knew I really wanted it to flow and feel intentional, but it took a bit of trial and error in the beginning. But when you walk in, there's, like, a sweet little area where you just take coats and shoes off. And then our first developmental play zone is our building area. So I have blocks, animals, cars, trucks, loose parts, materials, just all kinds of things that you can be creative with and build however you want. Next to that, right now it's a social emotional zone, which is filled with puppets, feelings books, puzzles with faces on them. I have a big felt face board where you can make different feelings. That zone rotates. So sometimes it's an ice cream shop. Sometimes it's a vet. Sometimes it's this feeling zone. Next to that zone is a cozy little sensory room, because I think even in an intentional space where there's less people, you can still get overwhelmed. So it's a little room with blackout curtains that has cozy pillows, sensory bottles, lights that sort of shoot stars on the ceiling. And that's one of our calm spaces. Next to that is our fine motor zone, which is Montessori inspired. And that's the place where I rotate materials the most. Right now it's Arctic animals is the theme, where you can pick a little tray of activity, sit down, do it, and then put it back. We have a gross motor zone, which is always the hit. Sometimes we turn it into an obstacle course. Sometimes there's just different equipment in there. We always have a slide. We have the trampoline. We have a Pickler triangle. Sometimes I pull out a balance beam, a tunnel. Next to that, I'm like walking myself through the space, we have a creative tool bench, one of our sort of pretend play areas where kids can put on a tool belt. There's hammers. You can build a little car. You can use a screwdriver. We have another calm down zone on that side of the room, a little cozy tent that you can go into with a pillow and a blanket and some stuffed animals. We have a parent area, big comfy couch with a bunch of books if you want to curl up on the couch and read your child a book. And then in our kitchen area, we have a pretend play kitchen, which I will say is probably our most popular play zone currently. It's super fun. And then we also always have free coffee and tea for parents in the kitchen. So that area of the playhouse gets a lot of traffic. And I think when I think of it, like, sort of in an overarching way, I kind of looked at all different areas of development in early childhood and made sure that I had an intentional space in every part of the playhouse that targets those different developmental areas.
So how has it been watching kids interact with this space that you've curated so intentionally?
It's amazing. I work with a lot of neurodivergent children, children who are autistic or have ADHD. And one of the things I really wanted to do with this space was make it like truly inclusive, right? I think it's easy to say everyone's welcome here, but you actually have to create an environment that is accommodating and welcoming for all people. And there have been moments where I've sort of stepped back during a play class and looked around, and there's half autistic children and half neurotypical children, and they're interacting, they're playing together, they're regulated because of the way the environment is set up, and it's incredible. There has been, again, some trial and error with that. Like the way that it was first set up, I sort of realized, ooh, okay, this is becoming very chaotic over in this area. I need to rearrange. And I'm always open to that change as we keep going. I think the way the zones are set up, we have little sort of sensory paths that lead in and out of the zones. It really does create that regulation by the way the space is structured and how you move through it.
Nice. Yeah. And then you mentioned that you're seasonally changing things
yes.
as well. So you're refreshing the space constantly.
Yeah. I get bored. So I also think like there is such a thing as having too many toys and less is more with little kids. You're going to see higher engagement and more creativity when a space is not overloaded with items and materials. So I love seasonal rotation. Like I said, January is Arctic animals. There'll be sort of vague winter theme for the next few months, but I'm always pulling toys in and out. So the environment stays similar. The routines in the space stay similar, but there's that novelty of items, which I also think is really enticing and regulating for children and families who come frequently.
For listeners who are just tuning in, we're speaking with Jody Burghardt, who founded the Mindful Me Playhouse in Carbondale close to a year ago. But as you mentioned, Jody, it's been a gradual building. And I'm curious where it is now compared to where you want to get it to be.
That's a great question. Okay. I have a big dream of eventually having a bigger space. And creating like a true pretend play tiny town.
Cool.
Yes, which like I have a whole business plan written for it. But so I think eventually I'd love to expand a little bit into that. But right now, I honestly think I just feel really calm and happy with exactly where we are. Mm-hmm. Like I feel so proud of what we've created. I feel deeply connected to the families who are our regulars that come in there. And whereas like I have a highly creative brain, so it's always buzzing with new ideas, I also feel like a sense of presence and being very settled with where we are right now.
Mm-hmm. And what has the response been from the families since you opened?
It's funny. I think the response is you sort of narrated the response of like, we're in this weird industrial part of town. We're going up this staircase. We don't know what it's going to be like. And then people step into the space and they go, it's like an immediate exhale. And something we've done really well is outside of like people who are just here on vacation, everyone has returned. We have not had a family who's only come one time. And I think for me, that's really special. It shows me that we are doing something right. And I think people feel calm in the space. I think the natural light, the colors, the textures, it truly is like that calming space.
Mm-hmm. Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like a really cool social opportunity for parents and caregivers as well, because unlike a daycare, you're not just dropping a child off and splitting, you're actually remaining present.
Yes, that was the most important thing for me, was like requiring a caregiver to stay with the child. I think particularly the 20 years of experience I have in the disability space, that's the thing I hear over and over, is I feel alone. No one gets it. I feel anxious to take my child into these public spaces because I don't know how they'll behave. And I don't think parents realize how many other parents feel that way. So if I can bridge that connection between parents, and for parents who maybe are new parents and they have a one-year-old and they're just, you know, in that baby vortex, or they just moved here and they don't know anyone, like, it's super, super important for me to connect caregivers with each other so that they feel that sense of community. I think when we expand our community, we expand our support system, and that leads to that deep sense of belonging, and it hopefully helps avoid that feeling of isolation or like, I don't feel like my child fits in, right?
Well, and that harkens to your logo, or your motto, rather. Could you tell us about the motto?
Yeah, the motto is "You belong here," and I truly mean it. I have the ability, and I can confidently say I can support any child with any level of need in the space. I've been working in disability services for 20 years. I've been a teacher. I've been a program leader. I have the experience to be able to truly accommodate anyone. And so we've had parents, and I think, Kate, I was skimming the article before I got here, said, you know, if a parent emails like, oh, my child's biting people at daycare, or my child's really wild, or my child is non-speaking or sensitive to sound, like, I'm like, yeah, bring them in, because I will meet you where you are, and I will accommodate them so they feel welcome and so the parent feels welcome too.
And do you observe parents playing in the space a lot too, as they're
Yes and no. Like, I think it's funny. Like, I think we talked about this when we were doing the interview and the pictures. Like, parents need to spend more, adults need to spend more time playing. Like, I think sometimes we forget how to play. And, like, play is a learning experience for all of us, right? Like, what an amazing opportunity to just do something because it brings you joy, because it makes you feel good, not with some sort of purpose behind it. And so I find, like, my parents that come a lot, they're all in. They are playing. There's sometimes that hesitancy, like, if you haven't been in an environment like that, or you just don't, maybe you haven't really gotten on the ground and played since you were little. And I love modeling that. I love encouraging it. I love complimenting parents who are playing to encourage more of it. And I think that's part of that community vibe that we have. Like, if one parent gets on the ground and really starts playing, I'll look around and, like, it sort of like gives permission, right? It gives the other parents permission of like, wait, I want to play with the sensory tiles, or I want to build with the magnet tiles, or I want to touch that really cool prickly fine motor ball. So it's like actually very heartwarming to see that side of it too.
Yeah, and I got to say your curation of toys was pretty cool. Like, there are these tiles that are these funny colors, and it's this squishy, it's almost like a lava lamp, but you step on it and then it'll displace the whatever material is inside of them. And so I myself was very entertained just stepping on those for a while.
That's the goal, right? Like, that we're all enjoying the space. It's not like, oh, you just show up and you sit back while your child plays. Like, I want it to be enjoyable and regulating for the adults as well.
Well, beyond your dream for a whole little play town, what other goals or aspirations do you have?
I want to partner with more people in the community. We just started bringing in Focus Kids, which is a local nonprofit. I'm on their board of directors. They specialize in brain-based social emotional learning. They blew me out of the water this morning. We had our first class. Everyone was engaged, and we had kids aged 1 through 5 who attended the class this morning. So having that like partnership of like a specialty little program or class that can come in is really like, it's amazing to me, and I want more of that. It made me realize like we live in a town with so many creative people, mm-hmm. right? With so many people that have just incredible skills. Like I would love to have more of those specialty offerings and give more, you know, creative people that opportunity to showcase what they do best.
Mm-hmm. Well, where can people learn more and find the schedule and get plugged in?
Our website. One of the things I love is designing and constantly updating our website. I do all of our social media, all of our marketing, our website, and I've tried to make it really simple. So mindfulmeplayhouse.com. You will see our mission statement on the front, and then you can easily look at a description of every single one of our classes, our specialty events. All of our pricing is right there on the page, and our schedule links directly into there too. So I've tried to make it very user-friendly, easy to navigate. You can just go on, read all about us, and sign up for a class right there.
Is it fair to say it's structured a bit like a yoga studio?
Yes. Yeah. I think like, so I've been a yoga teacher for 14 years. So I am like highly familiar with all of those kinds of gym and fitness scheduling softwares. And it made the most sense because mm-hmm. that's kind of how our schedule is set up. And I wanted it to be familiar and easy to people. So if you've ever taken a group fitness class anywhere, you will be able to navigate our scheduling system. And if you haven't, you will too, because it's simple.
Well, thank you so much, Jody Burghardt, for your offering here in the community, for joining us on this radio program. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our community?
Thank you so much for having me. I would say, like, if you haven't come, come check us out. Come check us out. On Saturday, the 17th, we're offering a 4-hour community open play where you can just show up. You don't need to pre-register, and it's $10. So we're trying to sort of lower the barrier to entry so everyone can come.
Cool. So that's like a maybe like a taster of the experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Well, thanks so much, Jody. And once again, this is for ages 0 to 5.
Yes.
May I ask why you cap it at 5?
Technically, early childhood goes ages 0 to 8. Like I'm a licensed teacher in Colorado for ages 0 to 8. I consider early childhood 0 to 5, right? That's birth up till kindergarten. And I want to make sure our space is developmentally appropriate and safe mm-hmm. for all of our families that come in. And I just can't guarantee safety if we have a 2-year-old and a 7 or 8-year-old in that space. So I really wanted to hone in on what I believe and what most early childhood experts will say early childhood is 0 to 5. So that's why I chose that.
That's probably where the biggest gap is as well. Once kids are able to go to preschool
yes.
and then continue on through the school system, they have a place to go, a place yeah. to meet friends and learn.
100%. Once you're in kindergarten, all of these doors open. You can go to summer camps. You can go to ski school. You can go to aftercare at school. So I really do think the gap in our community is the 0 to 5 offerings. Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks so much, Jody. Have a
great
day.
You're welcome. Thank you.